Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Tonight, we'll be looking at God's word. First of all, I want to say a very big thank you to our senior pastors. Thank you so much, sirs. God bless you, sirs. We're growing each day, and we do not take this for granted. Every assignment, every activity given us, as we take them, and as we do them, and as we run with them obediently, our lives are shaped, and our lives are increasingly growing. We deeply appreciate this opportunity. Thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate this. God bless you, sir. Amen. Tonight, we'll be looking at God's word, the Father's will. Let's just pray briefly. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, as we eat your word, I pray tonight, Father, that every life will be blessed. Every life will be touched. None escapes your touch and your word, your blessing for every life today. Every meeting has its own blessings. And Lord, we trust that that which you have for us tonight, you will disperse, you will share to us. And Lord, I pray tonight that every flesh be silent and only your spirit speaks, Lord, to the glory of your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So tonight we're looking at the Father's will. The Father's will. And in this context, we're looking at, you see, when we talk about will is large. I remember very vividly, as I was just thinking about this, I was just thinking about how my family lost a very large portion of land. Two. One in Ghana and the other one in Sajere Town, my village, my own village, named after my great-grandfather. So we lost a very large portion of land, even though my father has it in his will that it should be shared like this and like this. We lost it because greed made certain members of the family run away with some documents, and so we couldn't get it. And then we lost it. Meaning to say that even when you have, even when a will is written concerning you, if you are ignorant about it, you have the tendency to lose the benefit of that will. Hallelujah. However, we're looking at the Father's will, and then we're looking at the context of healing in this sense. Hallelujah. Not very many people understand or know or have the confidence or looking at God's word that, yes, God says that he has given us healing. It's our right. Not everybody has that confidence to trust or to reach out and explore or take that what is rightfully theirs. Because so many people still feel like, oh, sickness is allowed, is permissive, and it comes through the permitted will of God, and it comes to correct, it comes for to rebuke or to no. God is not a wicked God. Hallelujah. God is not wicked. It is his will that we live in health. That we live in health. It's his will that we live in health. Always. Amen. Knowing God's will concerning sickness provides the ground on which perfect faith can act. So when we know God's will from his word, when we know what his will is for us concerning sickness, then we can act in faith and, you know, exercise our faith and claim that which is rightfully ours. I've seen people who say, every year around this time I fall sick. Every year around this time I fall sick. It's normal to have that. And then when they just feel little signs or symptoms, they say, it has come again. No. You don't need to remind the devil to take advantage of you. You need to rather take advantage of what has been written concerning you, God's will for you, the will of the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the Father's will that we live in health. That we live in health. Remember his word in 3 John verse 2. In 3 John verse 2, he said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and live in health, even as your soul prospers. So it's his will that our soul prospers. It's also his will that we live in health as our soul prospers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The other one is Philippians. In the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 also talks about, just like 3 John verse 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 also talks about that, let me open it so that, because I quote it all the time, but I want us to look at it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Hallelujah. Philippians 2, 13. From the NLT, it says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." Giving you the desire and the power. So desire is not even enough. He gave you also the power to do what pleases him. To do what pleases him. Let's look at it from, there's this very version I love. Okay. The Passion Translation says, "God will continually revitalize you." When we talk about revitalize, strengthen, revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. So it's his will that our lives please him. It's his will that our lives is showcased healthy at all times because it pleases him. Hallelujah. Amen. It is God himself who is working in you. Now you want to obey him and he makes you strong to do that. When you obey him, that makes him very happy. Hallelujah. The one I'm looking for should be the King James, if I'm not mistaken. "For it is God working in you both to will and do of his good pleasures." Hallelujah. Amen. Now we're going to look at some other scriptures from the Old Testament so that you don't begin to say, "Oh, it's only in the New Testament." No. These promises are from the very beginning. It's his will. It's his will that we live in health. It's his will that we dwell in health consistently, that we be made whole, that we live a life that is healthy, all around healthy. Hallelujah. Are we saying that there's no possibility of one getting sick? It's possible. It's possible. But you shouldn't stay there. You must rise up. You must rise up above sickness. And you must use God's word, stand on his word, because it's his will that we live in health. Hallelujah. So let's look at the book of Exodus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 and 26. It says, "You must serve only the Lord your God. If you do, I will bless you with food and water, and I will protect you from illness. There will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land, and I will give you long, full lives." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, something happened. I think it was in our farm. And if I remember very well, there was this day that this bird was sick. And prior to that time, few days before that time, anyone that is sick like that would say, this one must go, this one they go. So we just let them go. Before long, they die. So if we don't want it, that we kill, we just quickly take them, put knife and kill. There was one, I just saw that one and it's already going. And I said, this one you will not go. I grabbed it, brought it out. And mother came and said, and brought antibiotics and said, "Let's put it in his mouth," and all that and all that. We put it down. After everything, it was still, the signs are clear that this one is going. I say, this life that we preach every time. And I come in here and I call this place Zoe, a place with God's life and everything. And I say, no, this one will not go. So I grabbed it and I began to pray. It looked so childish. It looked like, what's wrong with this man? But I prayed. And after everything, I just declared life. As I declare God's life over you, you will live. It's an animal, though. As useless as it may seem, but I declare God's life. I just say, I declare life over you. You will live and not die. And I put it back. I just separate it and put it in its own unit. And we went. By the next, even within that day, right? Yes. You could see, just like the Bible described, the the bird got revitalized, strengthened. And I was looking at it and saying, so if I had not declared, that's how people seal their mouth. It was Bishop Oyedepo who said, a sealed mouth is a sealed destiny. That's how people seal their mouth. I would have just been looking and saying, this one that is going on, if somebody just fry this one and just shop, it will make sense. And then the thing will just go like that. But it was revitalized and came back to life, and it was just there. Till now, it's still there, strong, strong and healthy. I still remember that very unit. And every time I just passed, this one that we have cheated death, this one has passed. Hallelujah. That's how it is. People come across some situation and say, there's nothing that can happen. It's gone, it's gone. It's happened, it has happened. No. You have the right to grab life, to grab that situation and declare God's will. God's will. What is God's will? It's his will that we prosper in health, even as our soul prospers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It could be a situation around you, a situation that seems so bleak, a situation that seems so ugly, a situation that you do not like. You can speak God's life. You can speak life there. Hallelujah. It's not enough to say, now so he do my papa too. And now my leg is doing me one kind like this. It must be. And you begin to call him and you say, it's romanticism. It's arthritis. He said, no. Grab that leg and speak life into it. Hallelujah. Your mouth can order the course of nature and begin to turn things around. And you just get the result that you desire. The will of the Father has already been bestowed upon us. And so we can live that life that we want to live. Glory be to God. So he says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. And so don't give me that philosophy that the life expectation of a Nigerian is 45 years. It's 50 years. No. If it's by that, I'm not a Nigerian. I'm from Zion. Hallelujah. And as declared by God's own word, he said, the number of your days I will fulfill. Hallelujah. When God says he will fulfill the number of your days, so why are you trying to limit your age, limit your lifespan, and say, no, by virtue of what philosophies are saying, by virtue of what scientists are saying, I'm supposed to live 50 years. And let me say, some of us get only 2 years or maybe 1 year plus to live. God forbid. Hallelujah. I want to live till I'm, I don't know about you, but I want to live till like I'm having white bears like this, and I can go to my senior pastor's house and say, Papa, how are you doing? And then I trust Pastor Muyiwa. You know, say even though Pastor Muyiwa is 100, he still wants to be like a young boy. So that's it, because the Bible says that life has been given to you. Why do you want to shortchange yourself? Praise God. So even at ripe old age, you can still have all the white bears and all the, and you will be strong. And people will be wondering, you know, some people can give some kind of funny excuses and say, no, it's because he's a sports person. That is why. Okay. You, that's not a sports person. You can die young if you want to. I have life. Not just life. Not just any kind. You know, water that you see. There are water and there are water. There's water you will see. You need to look at the bottle or the sachet very well. There's water that you see. You don't need to look at it. You know what the content will be. Hallelujah. The life we have is not just anyhow kind of life. The life we have is the Zoe kind of life. Hallelujah. It's Zoe. The God kind of life. Zoe, God kind of life. So it's not anyhow life. It's not that kind of life that can be kidnapped anyhow from anywhere. No. I had the story of someone who was kidnapped. And one of the days, he just walked through them, just like Pastor was teaching us on Sunday during Sunday school, how Jesus, they had planned to throw him off the cliff. And then he just passed through them like movie. He shocked them. He just passed. And so, even in their camp, he just, something tapped him and woke him up and just said, just be going. And he just started going. He just obeyed and he was just going. And the next thing he saw, He saw himself at the express. He beckoned on a car. The car carried him. And that's how he escaped. It was when he came out, he saw, as the car picked him, he recognized where he was. When he was in that bush, he didn't know he was even within that particular state. He's a pastor in my hometown. That's how he escaped. No ransom paid. Nobody came to rescue. Just the Holy Spirit tapped him. They were all there with their ammunition, sleeping, snoring at night. And he just got up. And not that he was smart. And he said, and he calculated and said, I want to. Mm-mm. He said, even when he was tapped, he was scared. He was scared stiff. Ah, what if? Just follow. And he just simply obeyed. Hallelujah. The life you carry is not ordinary. It's not ordinary. So don't treat it like toy. You have something in you. Amen. Tell yourself, I have something in me. I carry the God kind of life in me. That's what you have. Meaning that you could just throw to the hospital. You didn't go there for anything. But you just throw to the hospital and there's someone is sick. And you hear people, you see people running up and down and they say, ah, what happened? They say, ah, his case has gotten serious. Like Choma's issue that I had yesterday, that in church, blood was spilling. And she was scared. Everybody were all running up and down and all that. Hallelujah. When you know what you carry, you won't be scared. Even things that scares other people, you see, that's why the Bible says that when others shout that there is a casting down, you will shout a shout of joy that there is a lifting up. Do you know what that means? It means that even in the face of economy, of cash, what do you call it? Crunch. Eh? In the midst of scarcity of cash, you are doing your operations like Pastor Muyo and his PA. They already were living a life of no cash. So you don't bother them with cash. So this situation now, where there is scarcity of cash, is just very, very okay. For people like us who cannot, who find it difficult moving without cash, not only we face the challenge, but for them, it's okay. That's what God is talking about. As you go about your daily life, as you go about work, everywhere you go, you should have that consciousness that you are different. You are special. And he said so even in the book of 1 Peter, he said it too. That you are special. You're unique. You're not just like every other person. You can't just live life anyhow, haphazardly. No. You are special. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at Exodus 15. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Exodus 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. I just feel so excited within me. I don't know why. But I think it's the Spirit of God at work. Hallelujah. He said, Exodus 15, verse 26, it says, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Hallelujah. You can imagine they were in Egypt. And so many things were happening, plagues up and down, all that. He didn't come. He never came near them. And he even told them, he said, just for so they will know that he is the one in charge. He's the one who did it. He said, none of these diseases will come, which I put upon, will come near your dwelling. Hallelujah. That's protection. And that's what we were reading in Psalm 91 months ago. That is it. He will build that edge around us, so that you will know that it's only by the grace of God that you are not touched, nothing happened to you. Do you know what it means? I know, I understand it very well. I know what it means because in our farm, the settlement, the whole of that community, all farms shut down. All farms shut down. It will take the grace of God for you to understand the Zoe kind of life that you have to be in operation in that kind of settlement. Hallelujah. Is it that there's anything wrong with the land? No. Probably there's an outbreak and this and that. But then, there is the supernatural that controls the physical. Hallelujah. I am the Lord who heals you. The same thing, he said, I'm the one who gives you power to make wealth. So if he could heal you, he will also give you ability to make wealth, to get money. So he is the one. That's why I read Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in us both to will and do of his good pleasures. His good pleasures could be money. His good pleasures could be good health. His good pleasures could be that you be a victorious person in everything that you do, in all of your career, academic, whatever, even in marriage. I'm one of those, I've said it several times, I've testified. Thank God for the wonderful pastors that we have. I'm blessed. I'm really blessed. Otherwise, with what I have seen growing up, marriage is a no-no. It's a no-no. But God gives the blueprint. Hallelujah. And then he positioned me. No wonder the way I came in into Surpassing Grace Assembly. The way we came in, you will know that it's because God has orchestrated it in such a way that this life has to experience this because we are just gotten married. And there's no way we without the blueprint in front of you, you will struggle. You will struggle. Without that God's blueprint in front of you, you will struggle. So one of the best things God did was the people he established in my life. He said, don't go and struggle and be trying to, what's that word? You want to reinvent the wheel. You want to do your own. Just follow what you have seen. Just follow what you have seen. It's not a matter of braggado. Just follow what you have seen. There are times I go to Mrs. D and I'll tell her, see, that's how your pastor do too now. See, I've learned one thing. Are you getting me? I've gotten one thing in marriage. So that's it. So God gives you the blueprint so that you will live a successful, because your life is also going to be as a set example to other people. So when people come now, they say, okay, if you do it like this, I think it will work like this because I've seen my pastor live like that and I've copied it and it has worked for me. So I have helped many marriages to stand. Not by virtue of what I saw before, because if it's that one, marriage will fail. But because of the blueprint God has set in front of me, so I see it and I say, this is beautiful, this is lovely. Oh, it's possible to do like this. Oh, okay. Growing up, I never saw one man, one wife. Now one man, 13 wives. One man, 27 children. So, but that brings us to what we're talking about. For it is God working in us both to will and do of his good pleasure. So he gives you the right examples, gives you the people ahead in front of you that will show you the path. That's why he always used words like, if you will hearken to my words, if you will obey, if you will follow my statutes, if you will heed to my commandments. What are those commandments? They are not letters written on your wall of your house so that you begin to look at, okay, if you want to do something, you run back and say, thou shalt not. No. You see examples, living examples in front of you. Hallelujah. You see examples in front of you. So sometimes I just stay and I meditate and I think, okay, I'm sorry, I have to really be practical. Okay, if it's Pastor Emma, what will he do? Because it's an example in front of me. Even when I try to not want to mention it, I do. Because it's what I'm seeing, it's my board in front of me. Hallelujah. God will not carry me to MC Oluomo to go and show me example from his life. Because he has nothing he has lived that I will copy. He will show me the one that he has worked on that is a result, a proven result. And that's what I will copy. Praise God. Mm-hmm. So I say, okay, just like they say WWJD, what would Jesus do? So I look and say, okay. Sometimes I get stirred up and I get angry. You know, say, Pastor, what the verse too. You get verse. If you never know, you know. When you come for workers meeting, you understand. You carry cane. Not physical king. When he look you like this, when he, you know, you understand. They don't tell you. Only your brain will come to a factory setting. Praise God. All right, let's move on. Hebrews chapter 11. So we have been given practical examples in front of us so that we will not fail, so that we will do everything within what the provisions made by God for us so that we can glorify him and we'll live that blessed life. Look at what Hebrews says. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. It said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to believe. So when the Lord has said that, I have blessed your bread, I have blessed your water, I have made you whole, I have given you healing, you cannot be sick. Even in the midst of people who are sick, I will not allow any of these sicknesses to come near you. The operational skill with which you can enjoy all of those benefits, the simple thing to do is walk by faith. Praise God. You must believe. You must believe. Faith is the currency with which we operate. Faith is the currency with which we operate. So you see a believer, like I said, even though he says healing is the children's bread, it doesn't mean that a believer does not fall sick. There's the tendency that you could contact something or you get sick, but you don't stay there. You don't stay sick because you know your right, your covenant right in Christ. Hallelujah. So you exercise your faith. Based on God's word, you stand on God's word and say, Lord, you have given me healing already. This is my right. This is my birthright. And so I step into my health. I step into good health. You declare it and you have that. Hallelujah. It's the will of the Father concerning you. So you declare it and take it. Because the work of the enemy, according to John chapter 10, verse 10, it says that the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. So when your health is attacked, know that it's the devil that is at work. What did he say in the B part? He said, I have come. Hallelujah. I have come that you will have life and have it not according to the specification, not according to the design, not according to the life expectancy of a Nigerian, but that you have life abundantly according to my Father's will and plan for your life. Hallelujah. That's how I know that I'm going to live longer. I'm going to outlive so many people. Yeah. The other time I went home and I saw my brother, all his hair, gray and everything. I said, ah, oh boy, we'll be Asian. Why are you so white hair just for your head like this? He said, the thing when you think plenty. I said, hey, okay. When you think finish me, you show me the beans when you're thinking don't cook. You don't have to stress yourself being worried when you can pray. I remember that slogan back in the days growing up. I used to see it on cars. It says, why worry when you can pray? Yes, I remember very well seeing it on cars and on some places. Why worry when you can pray? If you can pray and exercise your faith and trust God to bring the things to pass that you've asked, why worry? I think John 15, verse 7 or so, when we're praying. And it talks about that if you do the will of the Father, if you do these things, he said, if you ask anything, you will have it. Anything is anything. Anything is anything. You can get anything. Hallelujah. Amen. So it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. God rewards. It does not owe. It does not fail. It does not disappoint. That's the reason why we can hold onto his hand and trust that he will give us that which we need. He will give us healing. He will give us breakthrough. He will give us everything that we so desire. Just at our asking. Doing his will and asking, you get anything that you want. Amen. Let's see the book of James chapter 1. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. So we'll look at verse 6 and 7. James 1, 6 and 7. He said, but let him ask in faith, not doubting. I like that. Not doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. If I want to interpret this very place that we read very in a simple word, doubting God is sin. That's what I'll just put it. That's the way I'll put it. No, the first one we read, Hebrews 11:6, talks about that without faith, it's impossible to please him, right? So that means without faith, it's impossible to please him without faith. So we will displease him without faith. We cannot be in good terms with him without faith. So faith is the currency that works here. Now, in James, what is also telling us is that the person who doubts is like a wave of the sea. It's unstable. And an unstable man cannot be on the same page with God, because God is consistent. The Bible says God is ever faithful. What does that mean? Ever. That means he is consistent in his ways. Praise the Lord. Yes. The Bible describes him as faithful, loving. We've read, it says, for your mercy never fails. Your mercies, they are new every morning. So to him, there's no end to his ways. He's consistent. So he's ever moving, ever growing, ever loving, ever kind. Everything about him is consistent. And that's why he said, his glory will not share with anyone. He will remain God. You know, they retire tomorrow. Say, I don't tire to be God. Oh, yeah, make a give a lagbaja. No. He remains God. So if he is consistent, the man who is double, who has double standard ways, the man who is wavering, who is not stable, who is unstable, cannot be on the same page, cannot be on the same team, cannot be aligned with God. Hallelujah. He said, and let not that man think that he will get anything from God. Why? Because he does not have even the currency with which to get what he wants from God. What's the currency? We'll be talking about faith, believing. Faith, believing. Faith is the currency. So he doesn't even have the currency. I can't go to that neighborhood supermarket. I just enter, I pick things, finish, and we get to the cashier table. And they say, pay. And I go there, and I just tell them thank you. And I'm going. They grab me, they will grab me. In fact, they will have to call my pastor, come and pay me. Amen. And my pastor said, don't call me for that kind of thing. So you can imagine, that means they have dashed me to government. So, he said, let not that man think he will receive anything. Hallelujah. Are we getting anything tonight? All right, let's see Numbers chapter 23 also. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Numbers 23. Verse 19. He said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Repent here is like that he should change the words that he has said. Say, oh, I really told say I go bless you. I said I will heal you, but healing has finished. Come again another day. No. Neither son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will not do? Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is not a man that he should lie. If he says a word, he meant every of those words. And he will bring it to pass. He will do it. He will do it. If he says he will bless you, he will surely bless you. If he says he has taken sickness and diseases off you, he surely has done that. Hallelujah. So what happens here is the devil tries to play on the minds of people. Say, okay, if God loves you so much, so why has this one not gone? Or why has this, why is this, why that? And then they go emotional and want to do all those emotional blackmail with God. Say, hey, God, like somebody said, I fasted and I cried and I rolled on the floor. I said, it's not that one that made God to answer you. Don't deceive yourself. It's not that made God to answer you. Because a lot of people like to do those emotional gimmicks and all that. Say, I cried, cried and rolled and was, I fasted. You know, that kind of fasting that they used to threaten God, like, if you don't answer me, I'll just die. You just commit suicide and I just prepare one very good bungalow for you for hell. Flog you very well for committing suicide. Praise the Lord. So God will always bring his word to pass. He will always fulfill his word. Hallelujah. There has not failed. There's no one word he promised in the scripture that he has failed. He keeps all his words. He keeps all his words. 1 Kings chapter 8. He keeps all his word. He never let his word fail. 1 Kings chapter 8. Some of the scriptures I won't be able to. I'll just call some scriptures in case you're writing so you can put them down and go through them when you get home. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. Take also Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Hallelujah. So if he says a word, he will bring it to pass. Amen. You can take also John chapter 17, verse 17, where he says, your word is truth. Your word is truth. I will hold on to your word at all times. I will never have any reason to doubt. Your word is truth. Amen. Doesn't matter what the devil says or tries to bring, suggest to my mind, I will hold on to your word. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 11. He said, but what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God does not fail his word. If he gave you his word, you can run with it and you will not be disappointed. Amen. Other scriptures that I want us to take also, where God announced by himself. He announced himself as the one who heals us. Joel chapter 2 verse 27, Isaiah chapter 48 verse 17, Isaiah chapter 42 verse 8, Isaiah chapter 51 verse 12, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Hallelujah. He said, but his word is very near and in our mouth, according to what we read in Romans chapter 10, from verse 8 to 11. His word is very near, and it's not just near enough, it is in our mouth. Meaning that those words, just like my father's will, those lands that we lost both in Ghana and in Sajere town, you can have the word of God in your mouth, and because you're not speaking it, you are there, you are dying, and you're sick. You could die. It won't be God's fault because the word is in your mouth. Say it. Speak it. The Bible says, for she kept saying. That means she didn't stop. That means there must be tendency that some people told her, madam, you are disturbing. Quiet now. You're the only one that is here. Is it only you that Jesus wants to heal? The Bible says, for she kept saying. She never stopped. She kept saying. She kept saying. She kept saying. How much have you said? Hallelujah. You know, some people really, they only just wish things. They don't pray. And they mistake it for prayer. It's a big difference when you say, hey, this one too hot. If I like get car, or I wish I get car. You are only wishing. You are not. It's not a prayer. It's like there's a popular parable in our local parlance. They say, no matter how long you cut eye for darkness for the woman when you love, you know they see you. You they cut eye for darkness, you are wink, you they wink. They wink. You say, hey, babe, you they wink. You know they see you. Now darkness you they. You are wasting your time. That's it. The word is in your mouth until you speak it forth. Until you speak it forth. You know there are people like that, Sha. He like the girl, he never talk. So one day somebody comes up, submit your own CV. Your own, what do you call it, manifesto. And the girl say, okay now. And he agree. And he say, he win election and then they go. They don't do wedding. You call the beef the sister for church. Come, they say, that sister, don't mind him. Don't mind her. Say, what did she do? Say, I like her. She said, did you tell her? He said, no, but I like her. She don't say I like her. Oh, she be winning. She just don't say you like her. So many people have the words in their mouth, but they will never say it. Wishing that it will be so. I can't be here now and I want transport. And I don't have transport. I didn't come with my car. And Mrs. D is there and she can give me transport. I will not walk up to her and say, and Mrs. D, can you help me with 200 naira so that I take care home? And then I'm just here and I'm just expecting her to just know. And just, except it's by divine intervention that the Holy Spirit just speaks to her. I will trek. Trek. And that's what happens. You're just there wishing. Wishing. Those are the kind of people that tomorrow say, I'm not coming to church again. Why you not come? Say, Pastor did not call me. Eh? Not that you tell Pastor that you're having challenge or something's wrong with you. You just, for your mind, you just feel, say, oh, Pastor just get all the luxury of time. So now you go come. He has to come to your house to find out what is wrong with you, how you're doing, or go to your status to check to be sure you are not having fever or something wrong with your brain. And then you never verse. Stay house. We'll give you a certificate. Hallelujah. Don't just wish. Use your words. Use your mouth. With the heart, you believe. With the heart, man believes. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Salvation that is talking there is not just about repentance. It's talking about safety. So, I have the power in my mouth to speak that, the roof over my head should not fall. And I will not say that. I just, if it collapses, go press me there. I have not saved myself. Salvation is far. Safety is far. So use your mouth. You want to go out in the morning, nothing stops you from Lord declaring God's word. Stand on God's word and just declare, Lord, as I go out in safety. Just pray. Pray. If you cannot pray, even if you do, God know they care. Are you, so one mama, ask one mama, why are you not praying? Say, I know Sabi English. God know they listen to only English. You can pray in your local dialect and he hears you. Hallelujah. If you can't pray that one, pray in tongues. That's why you need the Holy Ghost in your life. Thank God for Seth Man who has been doing the series of the Holy Ghost while speaking in tongues on the radio broadcast. And you should really listen to it every Tuesday night on 5 p.m. I was really blessed this last one. So blessed. So super blessed. Even though it's something we've heard before, you need to hear it over and over. Amen. So that we can be in the state of being filled. Always, always, always. So that you can get your results can replicate itself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel happy. Sometimes when I look at some things and I'm like, Lord, thank you. I'm happy that I know God. I'm happy that I'm saved. I'm happy that I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Do you know what privilege that is? There are people going through tough things now that they don't even know what to do. Why? Because they don't know what to do. If they know better, they will do better. One guy that they gave keke, new keke, brand new keke. The nylon is still in the keke. I just knew that it's a new one they just gave him. Sometimes when they drive any in my front, I just say, this one, you are playing with your empowerment. Because some of them, it's not their own. They didn't buy with their money. They gave them so that they can do balance and take. They are driving any, they've not learned to drive. 90% of all the keke riders in Lagos, Mrs. Sajiri know this thing, and she's always using it to yap them. Many of them know how to drive, to move forward. They don't know how to reverse. Because several times when they come to a crossroad and they tell them, okay, no, you have to go back. They will come down and be pushing the keke. Meanwhile, that keke can reverse. They don't know. They don't learn reverse. They learn only go. Is it only go you will do on the road? So if you get somewhere, you need to reverse. So you can't reverse. They will come down and be pushed. They say, join me. They push it back. Meanwhile, that keke has what it takes to reverse back while you are inside. Very few, only 10% know how to reverse. Many of them, they look only the right side. How I know? Because many times they've almost hit me. And I look at them. When I want to give them sign, they are looking at only that right side. They don't look at their left. And the man is turning to the left and he's looking at right. Until he hears both. And he's the first to come. That sometimes, like the woman, the one I saw today, they hit somebody's car, brand new car. And it's a new keke. I saw all the keke riders that parked. They reached like 30. All of them come down, they begin like, you know, when you see keke man lie, they don't say, you know, say, do wrong. All of them, they begin to beg. I pastor, me, why we leave you? Me, I will not leave you. So all of them just lie down. They started begging. Begging. The woman pack, and it's a woman. And you know, woman, different, man, they feel they forget. But woman, you must reach court. Especially those women that have do not argue, call a lawyer. A sticker for inside their motor. Ah, you are done for. So the woman just park a car, just gently for corner. Say, ah, this one don't buy market today. Hallelujah. Our God is good. Okay, take a few scriptures down that you can go through when you get home. So we've done Romans 10, 8 to 11. You can do 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 25. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 23. Mark 11, 23 to 24. Hallelujah. You know what those places tells us? It talks about that you can hold God accountable. You can hold God to his word. He's not failing. He's not running away from the promises he made. He fulfills every one of them. Hallelujah. You can hold him to his word. And then you will get answers. You will get results. You will get testimony. Shall we bow down our heads as we begin to pray? Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you because I'll hold you to your word. I'll trust you. I'll trust you. I'll trust you for healing. I'll trust you for resources. I'll trust you for provision. I'll trust you for favor. I'll trust you for supernatural encounters. In a mahanda vagadado, shevrene manda bradado sodea. I will trust you. I'll trust you to live in the will of the Father. I'll trust you to live in the will of the Father. Healing is my portion. Healing is my heritage. I will live in health. I'll live in health. I'll live in health. I'll prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. Ole manda vrabade shadados. Le kabanda ramande gedidish adados sodea. If you are here and peradventure you are. You feel sick in any part of your body, or you feel there's something wrong with any part of your body, and you want to trust God, this is the right time. You can trust God for healing. You can trust God for a miracle even right now. He said he will bless your bread, he will bless your water. He will take these diseases far from you. He will take these diseases away from you. He will not let them come near you. Meaning that even if you're sick, he said, I am the Lord that heals you. Hallelujah. So you can pray. You can trust him for healing right now. You can trust him for healing right now. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a chest pain. It could be anything. It could be fever. It could be anything, whatever it is. God can take care of it. And he's indeed willing to do it because it's in his will. It's in his will. It's in his will. He has granted it already. So if you don't take advantage of it, you're the one only shortchanging yourself. So it's his will that you live in health. It's his will that you get answers. It's his will that you testify about the goodness of his love and his healing upon your life. Oh, Lord, thank you for healing. Thank you for healing in this place. Thank you for healing in this house. Thank you for supernatural provision. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Le frame hand of rabado, sheredea, kabadagade, sekevegebedos, le brana hand of rabado, shadada bagada yanani, indevegebegedos, subtalabadado, yeregedado, shadada, ekabagabayan, amanda bagadado, sode and amanda badado, sodea. We can take time and begin to pray and declare God's supernatural healing and provision upon our families, upon our families, upon our homes, as many marriages that needs the healing touch of God. Thank you, Jesus. I will not be silent. I will worship you as Lord.